When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Ironcast. We've got an extra special guest. It's our European hero. He's here. It's Jared Bowen.
Good afternoon.
How you doing, Jared?
How many times you heard that? European hero.
Quite a few this
season.
Is life different now? Like the West Ham, like when you bump into West Ham fans, like, do you want a drink? What do you want? Is it like,
is there a lot more mania? I don't really venture out too much. But it's obviously online and stuff. Like it's things that you see, people obviously love you for that goal. And I think when you're playing, it's so difficult to get caught up in it because it's almost kind of gone, not gone for me because it's always going to be there, but because the new season started, it's kind of, that's at the back and your focus now this season is doing even better again this season. So it's, I think it's one of those things when you finish playing that you'll actually look back at it and go, wow, what a goal. Like, obviously, I know how big the goal was, but I think when you're playing, you're always so focused to be, you know, you want to do more, you want to score another goal in the final. So you kind of pull it to the side as much as the, probably the bad that sounds, but I think that's how it is. But of course, you still see it now and again and watch it now
and again.
I watch it once a month.
Chris watches it daily.
I reckon I honestly watch it once a month. Yeah. Do you watch it back? Like on that,
I won't go out my way to find, like, I won't search Jared Bowen goal in the final. But if I'm on scrolling, like on TikTok or Instagram, someone will do an edit of. Yeah. Usually, the ones that I've seen are the one where I missed the bicycle kick against Frankfurt in the semi final. It hit the bar, and then it's like does the edit of like a year later or whatever, and I score the winner in the final. So that's quite a nice little edit because that bicycle kick was probably. Yeah, that was awful.
Oh, man, that's so close. I actually watched it back. I couldn't watch the highlights. And I watched it back the other day. I thought we played so well. We were so unlucky.
We conceded early, didn't we? Yeah. Like, right after a minute and that kind of...
Do you actually do anything other than this podcast and watch old West Ham games?
It's research.
Oh, that's what it is,
On the final, have you kept anything? Have you got any memento? Have you kept your shirt, your boots or anything?
Yeah, shirt, boots, obviously the medal. My dad's got it all, I think I just gave it all.
Well, if he's like anything like my dad... That could be sold somewhere in a pub in Hereford.
Well, it's just at the bottom of the garage somewhere.
In a bag or something, chucked in a bottle.
Yeah. I pull it in from the final. I think I just gave my left one, the one that I scored with.
Oh, nice.
I just gave him the left boot. And it's quite nice because obviously the twins were born and I had their names on my boots, but only one of the twins is on the left and the other one is on the right. So it's like I'm going to be favouring the twin because I've got one name on the left and one name on the right.
The twins were real young at the final,
weren't
they? Yeah,
they would have been, what, a month?
Yeah, I remember speaking to them. Really
a month, if that. No, 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
Yeah. What a month that was in your life. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was life-changing.
What happened to the right boot then? Where's the right boot gone?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably at home somewhere. That one's irrelevant. I didn't score that one, so I just kept the left one.
Because the twins were so young, did you join the boys for the parade and the night out?
Oh, yeah, I was.
In the bucket hat?
Oh, yes,
I'd done an interview on top of the bus. That's so bad. I think I screamed out that I love beer or something right at the end of the conversation.
Brilliant.
But we had a good couple of days at it. And I think I got back home at about 11 o'clock at night. And we had to obviously do the night feed. It was still night feed time. Yeah. So I turned up back home and I was in a bad way, but I'd done the night feed. But
you did the night feed as well?
Well, about 11 o'clock. So it's not really like middle of the night. And then when I was asleep, I was completely gone. those 3 days from the final to when we got back was a lot of drinking.
We should talk about, like, this season, 19 goals in 40 games in all competitions. Like, the success of last year, you just feel like you've built on it almost, like, personally. Is there anything changed? Are you doing anything differently? It feels like your best season for West Ham.
Yeah, no, I feel when you as age goes on, you become more mature with the player. And, you know, I think off the pitch as well, just everything's just, like, settled. And I think it helps on the pitch, I really do. And I think for me this year was, you know, summer was great for us as a club. And it was, for me, was just trying to do what I'd done, but then be better at it as well and be, you know, get to the levels that I know I could get to. Was obviously, as much as I was excited and ecstatic with the win and the goal last year, I didn't really play my best football. So I think this year was a point to prove to myself, to, you know, because I set high standards myself, and then to, you know, I fell short of them last year. Obviously, it gets forgotten about because of the goal in the final, but I didn't forget about it. So I think for me, this season was going back to the levels that I know I can get to, and yeah, I've done that.
Oh, that's so good. There's an interesting bit of family history that I didn't realise, Jared, that your dad, it's Sam, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He had a trial for West Ham under Harry Redknapp.
Harry Redknapp, yeah. I think he wanted to sign as well. I think he's at Merthyr.
Yeah, the boys were telling me before. It was something to do with the money for Merthyr, though,
Merthyr
was it?
Wanted, I think too much so, dough. Wanted too much dough. And it was non-league. It was,
Welsh league. Oh, yeah. No, they were actually in the league.
Yeah, they would have been like, I don't know what they would have been.
Have you ever been to Merthyr?
Nah. I've been to a couple of games there.
Oh, yeah.
But I've
as a kid was that?
Yeah, so yeah. I can't really remember what it was like.
It's it's a rough old town.
They still playing football? I don't know.
They still got a team. Still doing all right. I think they're financial troubles, but still got a team. But yeah, it's a rough old town.
Should have sold them all them years ago for their financial troubles.
Yeah, exactly. They might have been, if they sold it, your old man, they might have been all right. But an interesting place to play your football.
Yeah,
that's
but
for sure.
He came on trial. Obviously, Harry Redknapp was here. I can't remember what year it was. I wouldn't know when it was, and said, yeah, they tried to get him, but Merthyr just kind of said no. So that was...
What position was he?
Centre forward.
Was he?
Brutal, though.
Quick?
Right.
Nah, not quick.
No.
Elbows.
Did you say brutal?
Brutal elbows.
Target,
and,
man.
Yeah, elbows and getting into winding up defenders up. And he tried to teach me something, but I said, with VAR, I can't get away with something. He's telling me to stand on goalkeeper's toes on the corners and just do horrible things.
Yeah, just doesn't
pinch him and stuff, but I couldn't get away with it.
Doesn't realise the game's changed.
I get a 15-game ban or something now, but yeah.
Does he still come down West Ham games then?
Yeah, he comes every game, home and away, European. He's got a little camper van, so he'll drive out to... Obviously, we played Ghent, whoever we played last year in Belgium. So he drove out there because sometimes he flies and it takes him like 3 days to get back, you know, because the flights are a bit different. He can't really get a flight back. And he's proper tight. So he doesn't want to pay for a flight. So he says, I'll drive the camper.
Is he going on his own or is he a group of them?
Me and my brother. Him and my brother.
I bet they drive have a ball though,
yeah,
don't
yeah.
they?
Well, I don't know. Them two fall out or anything. So yeah, he comes to as many games as, well, to be honest, most of the games.
Yeah, so good. So, like, you grew up on a farm, right, in Hereford. Did you actually do any farming yourself? Did the family rope you in?
Yeah, I don't know.
What kind of farms? Dairy? Chickens?
Well, that's a question. I don't know. I think, like, it's a bit of everything because there was, sheep as well.
Proper farm, then?
Yeah, harvest season, all that kind of stuff. So I used to go out with my dad's dad, who was the farmer. So I used to go out to my nan and granddad's on a Friday till Sunday and used to just go with him. And I, from what I remember, I used to love it. I can't remember how old I would have been. But even now I'd love to get back involved in farming. Yeah. Obviously all my family say, you know, you've lived in, you're a Premier League footballer now, you're not doing that, as if to say I wouldn't go back, but I'd love to do it.
So
I'd love
to do a bit in the summer and the off season, get back.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind it. But yeah, they do all sorts, like lambs, obviously, like not giving birth to the lambs, but helping with the lambs coming out, which is weird, like mental when you see it, but all that kind of stuff. So it's growing up, it was quite good fun, actually.
I was going to say, but it was great fun growing up.
No, yeah, because you just go out to the countryside, just help your granddad on the farm, and my old man used to do a bit as well, and yeah, it was how I used to spend my weekends, really.
Yeah, my brother-in-law's a farmer, my sister married a farmer, so I've seen a farm up close and it looks like hard work. It's like
the days
right up there with graft, like 5 a.m. starts.
Yeah. You don't strike me as a man who likes
potato season's the worst. I remember we used to do potatoes. Yeah, so I think now there's obviously all new machinery and things that can do it for you. But you know, back in the day, so to speak, it was kind of all these potatoes would come through on a machine and they'd be rolling a bit like, you know, you put your shopping on in Tesco or something. It's on like a conveyor belt. Yeah. And
after sort,
you'd be picking out all the bad ones and chucking them away.
Oh,
but
man,
you'd obviously have to get the right ones at the right time. But I remember that because that used to go on through the night for hours and hours. You used to have like workers, people working there, and they were just peeling all these potatoes out. And then you'd see them go. Then you also got the forklifts with stacks and stacks of potatoes. Driving around the forklifts is quite fun now.
Man, you want to go back to that after football?
You can tell he does, because you're smiling as you're talking about it.
Scoring in a European final, you want to put
I know, but that's my roots. That's my roots. That's where I got brought up. So yeah, I would like to go back to it one day.
Yeah. So the Hereford is actually where you started your career. Non-league, right?
Non-league.
Rough and ready. I mean, your old man probably was helpful then. in that kind of that level of
football? Yeah, no, it's definitely different. I was, what, 16, 17, and going into like a men's changing room of pros that have played hundreds of games in the Football League. And Hereford at the time had a lot of financial difficulties, was in a relegation battle. So it was like playing for something. I was in a relegation battle. I only played 8 games, but I think I was involved in the squads from January until the end of the season. So I had that kind of 4 or 5 months of, you know, seeing what it meant to win games. And I remember we stayed up away on the last day of the season. We beat Aldershot 2-1. And that feeling of, I was only 17 and, you know, I had all my family there, obviously a local Hereford fan. So all my friends were in the crowd away at Aldershot. And I remember there's a video of it on YouTube that I sometimes watch now and again, because it's honestly 10 minutes of just pure joy. It was, you see people waiting on the phone, because I think there was another game, I don't know if it was Chester or something, and they were losing. And then you just see like people from there start celebrating that as if like the results come through. And then the whole, like, I think they had about 1,500 away fans, just everyone's just, and it's just that feeling of staying up and like my local team to play for them and stay up on relegation. Last day of the season was mental, especially because I was so young and it was something I never thought I'd be part of. But I think in that environment really stood me in good stead to...
That's what I was going to say. I speak about it quite a lot.
You love it, don't you?
I was a sim... Like, I didn't do really the old... You didn't do the old YTS then, either. You just straight into the first team, was it?
There was a YTS, but obviously I didn't get paid for it because there was no money for it. I went through the kind of system where you go college and... So it was a YTS, so to speak, but not, I don't know if
you were straight into the first. I did the same at Cardiff. I played for Cardiff first team when I was Div 3, 16 and a bit.
Yeah.
But I always think, certainly for me, I'm not sure you might say the same, I loved that. Do you know, like, I talk about youth football now. It was, for me, it's the best way to come through.
I think it's
play lower
way.
Leagues, earn your stripes, if you like.
Learn your trade as well, almost. Yeah. Like, it's, I think, like you said, if you can get experience of playing it, I think it just stands you in so much good, especially if you do it at a young age, playing against men.
Yeah. You're like, not even... It means something, like you're saying, 1,500 people like going wild, just going mental, over a result.
And it's their livelihoods, do you know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of people down there. And also that sort of time, it was the old loan moves as well. Mm. And reserve team football.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't play on a Saturday at Cardiff, certainly in the third division, you'd go and play on a Wednesday with the boys from the first team who didn't play on the Saturday. So it'd be a mixture of the pros who weren't playing and then a few of the young lads. That's where you got your chance.
Yeah.
And then if you did well in the resis, you'd go and play for the first team. So I speak about it all the time. I think I loved the way I came through into the game.
Good introduction to pressure as well, isn't it? Like, you're in a relegation.
Yeah, that's
17.
What it is. Yeah, everything means something. You're playing for something, you know. If it's there to make mistakes, and you know what it means to kind of make mistakes or you know, you might get away with it in youth team football because it's, we lost that game, but it's all right. But you lose a game in that when you're, say, in a relegation battle or even anything. I think free, you know, like proper football, I call it. I like to call it proper football. Probably sounds wrong, but you're playing for 3 points. You're playing for a draw. You obviously don't play for a loss, but those are what could happen if, you know, if you lose the game or, you know, then that feeling of winning a game.
So when the FA Cup draw comes around, is that Hereford the one you've always got?
I'd love it, yeah. I've only ever been back there once when I was at Hull City. We played like a pre-season friendly. The Hull City under 23s against Hereford first team. I went back to Edgar Street and it was... I'd love to go back now. I think I will, hopefully, at the end of my career.
Is it still the same stadium?
Yeah, Edgar Street, yeah.
Massive high floodlights?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My uncle does the pitch there, so he's the groundsman. So, he's meant... So sometimes I used to go in like his van on that...
Brilliant.
And just sit, because he sits behind the goal, so I used to just sit behind the goal with him and go and watch some of the... Even when I moved from Hereford to Hull, I used to go back with him into the... Sit in his van and just watch the game.
That's so cool.
Because you mentioned the FA Cup. They got a famous
Ronnie Radford, didn't it?
Was that against...
Newcastle.
Yeah. They beat Liverpool as well? No? Am I thinking of the one?
Testing my memory now.
Do you know Hereford played... I'm sure they played West Ham in the round after that.
Really?
Yeah, there's famous picture. I don't know if you've seen it, Upton Park, of everyone on top of the flats. There's an amazing... It's probably the best picture of Upton Park. They're sold out, and then behind the North Bank, there's that block of flats, and people are on the roof of these block of flats. I'm pretty sure that's against Hereford, testing my West Ham knowledge there. How much better were you at everyone else at Hereford? Because it's like at non-league, like, you've gone on to become a great Premier League striker.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you look at it like that. I think I was, especially at the time, I never thought I'd play that kind of professional football, and it was, you know, it's called the Skrill Premier or the Blue Square Premier back then. So I wouldn't say, you know, I stood out. I don't know. You'd have to ask other people. I don't think. I just felt just more of an honour, really, to be playing at, you know, my local team where I wanted to play. I used to play with them from under 12s up until under 18s. And to walk out onto Edgar Street, which was, you know, where I used to go in the week, watch them, used to pay a pound. It was midweek games were a pound. So to go out there and play, and I think I just enjoyed the feeling of doing it rather than thinking, you know, I'm better than everyone here. I just enjoyed playing week in, week out.
Yeah. I mean, and then you went to Hull, and that's like, you did so well in the championship. What changed? Like, was there anything different that added to your kind of skill set that at Hull? Like, how did you begin to develop? Did you feel like,
was it, how old was you when you left Hereford to go to Hull?
17.
And obviously leaving your hometown. Was that a tough time?
Yeah, brutal. Because obviously I had West Brom and Wolves as well. And I was like, right, get me there. Hour from Hereford.
Because it's closer.
45
yeah,
minutes, Wolves. I thought, right, get me there. But my it was mainly my dad, to be honest. He was like, nah, you can go as far away as possible. Learn to live on your own. Learn all the off the field stuff. Learn to stand on your own 2 feet a little bit. Because otherwise I would have just been home every weekend. It wouldn't have really. So he said, obviously we sat down and spoke about every decision and what we could do, but he was just, you know, pushing for that whole City move to just more off the pitch, because he said, on the pitch I know you'll take yourself to the next level. He knew that I could have the ability to do it, but he said, off the pitch, trust me, you'll grow as a person, and as it'll help you on the pitch as well. So that drive up was brutal. It's about 3.5 hours up, and then I just left my dad. It was just kind of, I went to the Diggs family, pulled up. They were amazing for me for 3 or 4 years, I think I was with him. And then my dad just turned around and went. And I remember just watching his car go down there thinking, where's he leaving going?
Did he just want you out of the house?
Well, he could have been, yeah. You'd have to ask him. But I remember just bawling my eyes out, like, he's gone. Like, oh, I can't just go and see him. I can't go see my mum. I can't go see my brother, my sister, like all my family. Because I'm quite family orientated as well. I always try and spend as much time as possible with them. And yeah, to not see, that was tough. That first month of just living there. Obviously, you got FaceTime and stuff, but it's not the same as going in for a cup of tea and a bit of dinner. And yeah, so that was really tough. But obviously, you know, I think it helped me get to where I am now. And I was there for five and a half years in the end, which was, yeah, there was a lot of things that happened there. When I first went there, I didn't play football for 6 months. I got, you know, coming from Hereford in the non-league, there wasn't training, there wasn't gym, there wasn't, you know, loads of nutrition, yeah. You know, all the things that they do in proper, you know, academies. There wasn't any of that. And I kind of went to like a full-time environment of training, gym. And I was thinking, what is going on here? And then my body, not shut down, but, you know, I had a lot of problems with my ankles and like my joints and that. And so I think because I never really experienced doing all that gym and all that kind of, all that stuff, they pulled me out for six. And I was fit. I was fine. And they just said, you're not playing football for 6 months. I thought, I'm going to square him straight in the nose. I really wanted to, but yeah, pulled me out for 6 months and just kind of done loads of gym and just loads of...
Just to strengthen you up.
Just to strengthen me up, yeah.
They must have said, like, what did they spot in you at Hereford? If they're bringing you in and you're saying you need to strengthen up? Like.
Oh, I don't know. I know there was a guy called Tony Pennock who was the head of youth at Hull City at the time. And the Hereford manager was Peter Beadle. And they knew each other mutually somewhere. And they came to watch a couple of my games. I think the manager said, you need to come and watch this kid that we've got. I think he's got a bit, which was obviously nice. And then I think he came to the game where I scored my first goal, which was obviously nice. But I think he came to a few games before that as well. And he met me and my dad after, drove us up to Hull, took us through like the training facilities, you know, the direction they wanted to go in terms of the academy where they see me. Just had a chat about it. So I thought that was really nice. So that was another thing that helped me, you know, say I wanted to move there as well, you know, have the time of someone to speak and, you know, value you really. So yeah, that was probably how it came about, like a mutual coaches knew each other and there we have it.
And then like you were firing at Hull. I think you were one of the top scorers in the league. Then it was the January when you joined West Ham. So do you remember getting the call? Do you remember like the...
Yeah, I remember the whole day because I think there was talks for about a year because I'd done two really good seasons. And then, you know, I was always thinking, am I going to get a move or not? Because there was always talk and, you know, then my agent would say, no, there's nothing going on. I was like, all right, cool. I'll just keep playing football, keep, you know, seeing what happens. And then it got to the last day and there was nothing. And I remember my dad and my brother was up for the night just in case they needed to go anywhere, obviously deadline day. And they were like, we had a chat with my agent in the morning. He's like, nah, nothing's going on. You're staying here. I was like, all right, cool. I'll crack on here and, you know, try. Because I think I was on 16 goals at the time. So I think in my mind, I was like, right, I'll get us in the playoffs. I want to go up through the playoffs with Hull City because we was in a good position at the time. So I was like, right, we'll get to the Premier League here. And I want to finish top goal scorer in the league. That was kind of my mindset that I was going through when he said that you're not getting a move. So I went in fine. Just went into training normally, just get changed, go for your breakfast, order what you want. And the chef looked at me and was like, no, you're not having no food, I was thinking.
What?
I was like, why? I was like, I'm hungry. And then the manager, Grant McCann at the time, saw me.
What are you doing here?
Yeah, that's what he said. What are you doing here? I was, looked at him like, you what? He's like, come in my office. I was thinking, oh my God, what have I done? I was thinking, what have I done? Because when a manager pulls you in the office, you think, what have I done? I've done something wrong. And then he went, we've accepted a bid from West Ham. I was thinking, my face just lit up straight away. I was like, what? I was like, you're winding me up, isn't it? I was thinking that. And then he was like, yeah, we have. Like, we've accepted it. You got to go speak to the physios to go through. Because I think I went to Leeds for like a full body scan. Like,
you did the medical up there?
Up in Leeds, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I went to, and then my heart just dropped. I was like, my stomach felt like I was going to, it was probably because I was starving and the chef didn't give me any food. But all day I was just like, oh my God, what is, because I've come from Hereford, I've gone to Hull, I'm in the Championship, I never thought I'd be playing there. And then to say West Ham in the Premier League are going to sign you, and all you got to do is go down there and sign, I was thinking, oh my God, I couldn't really believe what was happening. So I went to Leeds, done the scan for a couple of hours. And I remember we sat in Doncaster train station because we had to get the train from Doncaster down to King's Cross, I think, me, my brother and my dad. Just in the car, just all just like buzzing. In tears, buzzing in tears, just like, can't believe it. Like, we never would have thought it, from playing at Edgar Street, playing for my local team, to be signing for West Ham is just incredible. And then we was like, right, are we signing? My dad was, because he's like, I don't know how to explain him, but he's like, right, are we going down or not? I was like, yeah, we're going down. And you go to my brother, you go, are we going down or not? And then my brother would go, yeah, we're going down.
So you like to clear it with everyone. So before
we all cleared
down.
It in the thing, and then we just got the train down, and all my friends. Because I think it came up on Sky Sports, and like West Ham agree fee with Jarrod Bowen. So I had all my friends. I didn't even tell my mum. Honestly, I felt awful. I didn't tell any of my family because I thought if it goes wrong, you never know until you sign that dotted line. I don't think you can tell anyone. So I had all my mates, and got to about, I think we got to the stadium about 9:30. And obviously Pinch's secretary was, 11 o'clock's a deadline. He was stressing out. It was so funny. He was like, because we were talking, my agent was there. I think I was talking to a manager, the physio, doing a few things. And they were like, right, Pinch's like, right, we really need to get this going, because he thought we're going to run out of time. Signed it, done all the stuff, went through the stadium. And then that was it. And it was just from the start of the day of going in, being declined breakfast, to go into the end of the day and signing was, yeah, incredible.
Yeah, I remember, I think we had a home game the next day, didn't we? Because like, I remember I unveiled Brighton. You had your ripped jeans on, I remember that.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to teach this kid from Hull address.
Yeah,
and it's not from Hull.
You brought me on the pitch and I was like, what am I doing on the pitch? Yeah. I was thinking, what do I do? I was so nervous. I remember saying to my brother, I was like, what do I do?
Yeah, he's like, just clap and wave. Clap.
I was thinking, well, what if they like don't care about me or something like that?
What if they ask me to do some kick-ups and they do a drill or something like that?
In the skinny jeans. So yeah, I remember going on the pitch and taking it all in, because it was, obviously I was there the night before, but it was dark, it was empty, and I went there the day after, and it was just, I was just like, wow, this is really, really hit me then, like, wow, this is incredible.
Are you glad we don't do that Barcelona thing of like, all right, do some kick-ups now?
Well, yeah, my skinny jeans, I wouldn't have been able to do it, would I?
Would you have been any good at that?
No, I was just flicked it up and started heading it.
Chuck
it up for me.
Yeah, chuck it up for me. I'll head it 30 yards.
I'll head it 40 yards, 30 yards for you, but I can't do a kick-up.
And talk about hitting the ground running. Man, you just flying straight away, goal on your home debut, wasn't it?
Like, yeah, it was a bit mental, wasn't it? That, because I think that was the time around COVID. I think we had four games, Liverpool, Man City away. Should have scored against Liverpool away at Anfield. A week later, I have the same chance and score. And then I think we played Arsenal away, and I think we should have beat them as well.
Yeah.
But those games, and then the Southampton game was just, home debut and scoring. I think we won 3-1 or 3-0.
Yeah,
but that was just first start, and it was just... Yeah, first goal, incredible.
Do you feel like you were at home, like, quite quickly?
Yeah, I just felt comfortable. Like, I don't know, I don't know if that's me just, trying to, that's how my mindset works, and just trying to don't try and do too much, just fit in, and I feel like they'll love you. And I feel like I tried to do that from the first from the first game that I played.
People always say West Ham is a family club, and in your family, your father-in-law is one of the most famous West Ham fans, probably most, I would say, the most fanatical West Ham fan. You know him as well, Ginge.
Do.
Danny Dyer. Did you meet, which Danny, we were just talking, like, what Danny did you meet first? the father-in-law? Or the missus?
When did I meet little Dan?
Put you on the spot here.
Yeah, that is. So I always say little Dan and big Dan.
Little Dan.
And little Dan's my Dan, big Dan. Big Dan's the big Dan. I don't know if I've seen him again. I can't remember. No, I think it was little Dan. I think it was my Dan, yeah. I don't think I came across him. I think I knew he was a West Ham fan. But I never thought, you know, me and his daughter would be going out, to be honest. So I never really...
Does he give you stick if you don't play well or don't score?
Nah, he's not like that, to be fair. We might talk about the game, and but if I play bad, he won't say to me, "That's awful today."
Now, will you drop your text?
He's a softy, he's a softy. Obviously, his characters and stuff are all like hard men, and that's what all my friends say. What's he like? Is he like nuts and that? And I'm like, nah, he's like a big softy. Like, it's mental, but he's just got so much love for this club as well, and obviously, I think he's couldn't have asked for probably a better scenario for him.
Does he tap you up for tickets? Does he ask for signed shirts?
Nah, he's not there. My missus is more like that. Because she can't say no to anyone. Someone in the supermarket say, "Oh, I've got a shirt here for your boyfriend. Can you sign it?" She's like, "Yeah, no worries. I'll get it to sign him." So she's
come
worse,
on, you've got but, 20 shirts to bring in the training.
Nah, he's to be fair, he's there now and again. I think one of his family members have got one of the boxes upstairs. So I think he goes and he never really asked me. And to be fair, the tickets that we get, some of them, you can either get the ones, some of them are right in the mix with the punters. I feel like he'd get pelted, probably.
And but, what am I like, you deliver him two new grandkids and you win West Ham's first European trophy.
Oh, that must have been the greatest week of his life. Or yeah, month
no,
of his
what
life.
About his experience when you came home? He must have been delighted to see
him. Yeah, we had a party that weekend, like all my family, all Danny's family.
Did I read somewhere that was the first time they had properly met the families?
Yeah, because obviously Hereford down here, they can't always come at the same time. And you know, she's got a big family and I got a big family. So there was literally so many people at the house. It was mental. So that was the first time we kind of met. And to be fair, her dad and my dad were so similar, I thought. And I knew they'd get on like anything. And they were, But everyone, it was, after that final, I remember he sent me a video I think her mum sent me a video of him. I think he was crying or he was just rolling around on the floor, like all the family, because they watched it. He didn't go out there. He was just watching it at home. And I think just how it happened, like last minute winner, and it was me that scored the goal. I just don't think you could have asked for anything kind of.
I feel there's a TV series in this. The farmers from Hereford meet the Dyers. Some sort of, that'd be sensational watch, I feel.
Man, what an emotional, just thinking about it. Like, you just had two new grandkids and then
it was mental because we had the Leeds game at home, the last home game of the season, where we won 3-1, I think. I scored that day. The day after, because it was, it was a C-section. We kind of planned it in. My missus knew the day. That was the day. So we had the game, had the Sunday night, all excited. Like, I don't think we both slept because we were just just so excited. Well, I was just so excited for it to happen, and went there Monday. Obviously, the baby's come out. I think that we was back out on the Friday, because the Saturday we had Leicester away. So I went to the manager. So we was going to, we had Leicester away and we had Portugal trip before before Prague. So I thought, right, I'm going to stay at home for one of these, surely. I thought, right, boss, Mr. just had the baby. Can I stay at home with the baby? Like, we're going to Portugal. Like, one or the other. Can I do one or the other to stay with my missus? And, she's a bit sore from the birth and she needs looking after. Can I stay at home for one weekend, basically? Just a couple of days. He was like, I'm going to need you for Leicester. I thought, right, all right. Seen him after the Leicester game. He goes, if I don't let you come, I have to not let other people come. You have to come.
So I
went to all of it. So we had Leicester away and I was on the bench that game. I was fuming. I was thinking, well, if you're taking me, at least start me. I played about 20 minutes that game as well. But and then we went to, so that I can't remember what day of the season the Leicester game was. would it have been Sunday?
Would have been a Sunday. Yeah, I think. Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. Normally Sunday, isn't it?
So
yeah.
Sunday, and then the Monday we went to Portugal for like 4 days, which was unreal when we was out. It's yeah. like a stag do for 4 days.
That's basically. What Crazy was saying.
It was unreal.
The gaffer, Crazy said yeah. it. I think Thomas mentioned it as well, that we felt like we won the Conference League in that yeah. trip on Portugal.
Well, when you think of it, you've obviously, the season's done and you're going 4 days to Portugal. You're kind of thinking, I want a bit of, well, I was thinking time. A bit of family time just yeah. before the final, before we go again. But yeah, that trip was just, it was incredible. Like, it was unreal. Like, I can't speak highly enough of it. And I'm glad I went. My missus hated it. I was away for a week, but I was living life. And it was
were you anything like me? There's not a lot of contact with home when I'm away on trips either. Yeah, so.
Sorry, look at your phone. 15 missed calls. Yeah. 10, sorry. No signal.
She's at home with the kids. You're like, yeah. Oh yeah, I'm training.
Yeah, training. You know,
playing really golf, or you having a beer or something.
Yeah, or both.
Yeah. Yeah. Was you golfing out there?
Yeah. Well, I don't really play golf, but I was kind of just a bit of a caddy and just having a few shots now and again. Yeah, I was just ringing the drinks cart all the time. And just cause I think it was Krez, Deck, Flynn and Ingsy that played. So I think me and Jono were the caddies. We were the drivers and we were just ringing the drinks cart and just... Yeah, but yeah, that I think we went for 4 days, but that trip, like obviously Crazy said, the gaffer said, yeah, that trip was incredible. And I think it probably did stand us in good stead for that final, because you can have those days away where you go away and you're kind of not disconnected from the squad, but you're not together. Mm. But the way we done it obviously worked perfectly.
Oh man, there we go. That's how we done it.
And then Prague was like, we went 2 days before the final. So obviously I said to my missus, right, I'm going 2 days before the final and I'm coming after. So that was, but then we had 4 or 5 weeks off, so I kind of made up for it.
Not too bad.
All right, West Ham fans, one way you can support Ironcast and help us rocket up the charts and beat off the competition from other official football clubs podcasts like Chelsea and like Spurs is to get a 5-star rating or review from you. Support me and Ginger on the podcast, chuck us a 5-star rating and review, and help us rocket up the charts where West Ham belong, at the top of the table. Back on with the show.
Playing for England. Man, so much has happened to you.
Yeah.
How was the first call-up? How did you get the nod on the first call-up?
The first call-up was, I was back in Leinster, back in my hometown. I was with Danny, with my brother, and my sister. My sister took the day off school because... England call up was the thing. I thought, right, you don't need a day off school for me, to get a foot. But every time I'm home, she'll always say to my mum, oh, the night before, she's like, she'll either go, oh, I don't feel very well, or she'll just say to my mum, oh, I shouldn't go to school tomorrow, should I? Like, every time I'm home, she's left school now, but back then she was like, right, I'm having the day off school. My mum was like, all right, because it was like a big day. We didn't know what was happening. It was just in case. I remember we was out for... breakfast, it was about 11 o'clock. We were just about to order and I see a phone number ringing me and I don't recognise the number and I'm thinking, I didn't answer it because I was like, who is it? It could be a cold call.
Yeah.
Could be anything. Got a WhatsApp message, hi, Jared Scout, Southgate. Give us a ring when you get 5 minutes.
Wow.
Didn't order food that day then. I didn't eat. When I first signed here, I just felt sick. Like, nervous, I was like, what's he going to say? He's either ringing me to say, you've done well, but you've not done enough. Or he's saying, you've done well, you're in the squad. So I was like, what is he going to say?
How long did it take you to phone him back from the WhatsApp?
I was thinking, I was like,
sit and think about it for a bit.
I was thinking, do I act too keen and ring him after a minute or do I give it 10? In the end, I gave it about 6 minutes.
Did you answer? I got a few questions on this. Did you phone him and go, hello, Gaffer? Or did you say, hello, Gareth?
I just rung up and he was like, hi, Jared, you're right. I was like, hi, you're right. I didn't want to go, you're right, Gareth, or you're right, Gaffer. I didn't know what to say because I didn't know what was happening. So he was like, yeah, all good.
Were you worried it was a fake? Were you worried it was like...
Yeah, I was thinking this could be anything.
One of the boys.
But then he was like, yeah, I just wanted to call you to let you know you've done really well this season. And I was thinking, no, he's letting me in lightly. Yeah, he's going to say you're not in. And then he went, I'm going to announce you in my squad that comes out at 2 o'clock. And then I got the text from the media girl saying you've been selected in our team. And I remember he was out for breakfast. My brother was crying, sister was crying, missus was crying. I was just laughing. I was just like, this is great. Like, even at Prague, my brother was crying, best mates were crying, dad was crying. I was just living life. Just maybe that's my way of doing it.
I think that's the thing though. Like, my family were the same. I think when you're in it, you don't realize my old man couldn't watch a game. He wasn't a nervous man, but when it came to watching games or something, he was like a different animal. I don't know what got into him, but I think when you're in it, you're just thinking about playing, you're just thinking about scoring goals, but for your family, it's horrendous.
Yeah. They were just in tears. So that we was in this breakfast place, people looking at us thinking, oh, them lot are weird. They all just sat there crying. So then we didn't have breakfast. I think we ordered coffees, but we couldn't eat. I couldn't eat. I was like, and then I went to my dad because I didn't tell my dad or my mum. My mum was at work. She's a teaching assistant, so she didn't finish till 3 o'clock. So I didn't tell her. And I went out to my dad's house and I was like, you got a minute? And he was like, what? He's like, just tell me. He said, don't even walk me over there. He said, tell me here now. So I went, I just had a photo. So I proper played on it. Yeah, it's brilliant. I played on it so much. It was unreal. I was like, oh yeah, I just had a phone call. He was like, right. I was like, yeah. So it was off Gareth Southgate. He's like, right. And then he's like, right, Jay, stop and tell me what
X Factor in it.
I was like, he's selecting me for the squad. You went, what? I went, yeah, I've been called up to the England squad. He just walked off and he's got an old truck from when he was my manager in my old Leinster Miners, it was called. So that was like under 9s, 10s, 11s, 12s, 13s, 14s, because I'd done Hereford and Leinster. And he's got the same truck that he used to drive me in. He just went in, he don't work, he's just got it for just. Because we used to drive in that, and we used to take me to football in that. He just went in there and just sat in there, bawled his eyes out.
Two hours.
So I went in there and I thought, I'm going to cry here. But I didn't cry. I don't
know. You got in the truck as well?
Yeah, me and my brother went in there and my brother was crying. And I was like, what's wrong? He was like, I just can't believe it. Like, think of the times we sat in this truck as driving to local teams playing away. And now we're sat in here and you've got an England call up. Like, now it gets me a little bit, but at the time I was just so happy. Like, I don't think I was like, there's nothing to be upset about. So I didn't want to, there was nothing for me to cry about. It was more just, I was so buzzing to just be in the squad. And then I rung all my mates up. I was like, right, party tonight, bring the drink, bring whatever. And then me, my best mate, my brother went to Morrison's. I don't know how much, we must have spent about, I don't know how much. We just filled this trolley up with so much alcohol. You can
get your hands on.
Rung the family. And I remember Pritch rung me from here actually and said, right, can you do an interview about how you feel about West Ham? I said, Pritch, I've been drinking for about 6 hours. Keep it short and sweet, please.
I know Pritch as well. And he's the last person you want to speak to. Yeah. To be fair, when you're celebrating getting picked up for England.
And I was like, yeah, I'm buzzing. Well, just, yeah, I'm really, I can't remember what I said, to be honest. He'll probably tell you. But yeah, if we went to like this little corner shop as well, bought like England flags, like things. I've got a picture of me somewhere. I've got like a hat on, I've got sunglasses, I've got like an England's, like the you know, the flags you can get, the different ones. I had one of them wrapped around me. And then my mum came out when she finished work, and then she obviously saw what was going on, everyone there, and she was, because I felt bad, I didn't tell her, but she was at work, she wouldn't have seen it anyway, so she wouldn't have been on her phone. And again, she was crying, so it's just everyone was crying. I was just loving life. And
how long did you have from knowing to meeting up?
Oh, about a week. So I was like, right, we'll go at it hard.
Yeah, I was going to say, you had 2 days.
A day or two at it. And then it was meet up time, and then I started to, then the nerves kicked in, and I was driving to St George's. I was like, just felt sick. I was like,
horrible feeling.
Oh, really?
I say it all the time. It's like your first day at school.
Because it gets like
obviously on the block.
Like, you don't know what to expect. You don't know where you're going. You don't know, like,
you're walking into different doors thinking, is this the way? Yeah.
Looking for the kit. You've got to be somewhere to pick your kit up. You're sat in your room thinking, I don't know where to get the kit from.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just all,
I don't know all the names of all the staff. Yeah. Like, all these lot know like their names. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know your name, but I'm just going to just say, hey.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
Are you there now, though? Do you know the names now? You've been in quite a few squads.
Yeah, I think. I think.
Didn't seem too confident.
Yeah, no, I'm not too confident, but I think I know. But obviously at the time, Deck was there. So
yeah, I was going to say,
He helped me. And obviously you play against some players that you know, and some of them are playing it, like Jack I played against in the Championship when he was at Villa, and against Man. And we played Man City when we drew 2-2 a couple of weeks before, when I think it was Nobes' last home game. So I kind of knew like Jack from that. So when I first got there, I was speaking to him for a bit about it. He was like, God, you nearly messed our title up, because I think they won it on the last day of the season. But that first call up is always so special. He's just, you feel sick, but to be there is just an honour.
It's such a big deal. And playing against Brazil on a rainy Wembley, you started that game, you nearly scored. Oh, every West Ham fan was like, yeah! Oh, no!
Yeah, it was... I don't think there was VAR in front of this. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, right.
I didn't... from a corner, you don't really think you're going to be offside, you know, because everyone's in the box.
Yeah.
Like, you defend...
There's normally someone on the post.
No one defends
well,
the post anymore. Yeah. Yeah. I know, it's mad. Just changed, isn't it? There's no one on the post. And I just thought... it just didn't cross my mind. Like, that was my role, to be on the keeper, come back, get a little touch. And I done it. And I was... That feeling, I was just over the mill. I was like, wow. And then I remember running back. And then I was thinking, I've done it. I've scored for it. Like, I've scored for England. That was like one of the big things I wanted to do. And then I seen them checking it. I thought, oh, you're lying to me. I thought, this can't be offside.
You're right, though. It's the last thing in the world you're thinking. Offside from a corner.
From a corner, yeah. And then it was a friendly. I was thinking, there's not going to be VAR like a friendly. It's for competitions, I get it, but for a friendly. And then he was checking it for ages. And then I could just see him walking back to their box. And I thought, it's offside.
I was going to say that I've had a few current players on. Do you know with the VAR when you're on the pitch, do you get a vibe off the ref?
Yeah.
Do you sort of know pretty, you know a lot more, you know a lot quicker than us doing the stand?
I feel like I've picked it up. If you've got a decision and the referee just points, it's a goal.
Yeah.
If he's about to blow the whistle, it's a foul or offside. That's what I've noticed.
You've noticed
one thing that I've noticed. Yeah. If you're kind of, say you're, I think you've scored a goal, you're back ready for kickoff.
Yeah.
And you see the referee like listening and then like walking towards their goal with a whistle. You think, like, he's disallowed.
So your dad likes going in camper vans. He likes watching you in away games. Yeah. Maybe he might have fancy a little trip to Germany this summer. That would be ideal for him.
Yeah, hopefully. Got to get back fit, get back playing. It's obviously been annoying for the last week or so. But that's the aim. And obviously it's difficult in my position, in the attacking areas for England. I think it's probably one of the best it's been for I don't know how many years. So that's the competition you're up against. And I think all you can do is, you know, we spoke about the start of the season, about the numbers and what you do and how you're performing. And I think one of the things for me this season was consistently trying to play well week in, week out, whether, you know, I might not score, but I've got to play well. I've got to set up a goal. Or I think that's the main thing for me, just week in, week out, just turn out the performances. And then hopefully in the summer, you know, the call gets you. And I think when you play for England, you know, the last camp I played both games. So when you play those games, you've got to give the manager a headache and an opportunity. Mm. So you're an opportunity to impress, you know, there. You can't kind of go under with the occasion of playing for them. So I think, you know, obviously they watch all the games from Premier League. But I think when you're playing for England, you have to show it there when you go there, especially like in training as well. Mm. And for the games, and you know, I feel like I've done that. So now it's just down to how I finish the end of the season and then see where we're at. But like I said, I know it's going to be difficult with what I'm up against with, you know, some of the names and how they're doing this season. But you know, that's what you want to be. You want to test yourself against, you know, the best. So for me, it's just see what happens.
I think you offer something different. You're so direct. Like the way you run at defenders, I think you offers England something completely different.
Are you looking at me for an answer on England?
No, you were about to say something.
No, I was going to say, did you set yourself a goal start the season? Or have you set yourself a goal of...
What, as in like
as
goals,
in target
assist?
For goals maybe or assists?
Yeah,
or?
I'm always like, it's probably low, but I always just go like double figures in goals and assists. And then I think if you hit that, then you just keep going. Then obviously you always try and, you know, I've got my best ever Premier League goal scoring record. I've got my best goal scoring record in the season. I think my best couple of years ago was 18 goals. Now I'm on 19. I don't know what my assists, I don't know how many assists I'm on. I don't know, someone have to research that. Yeah. But I think as long as, if you're looking at 30, 35 goal involvements in the season, like if it's I finish out this season, it's a great season. Like, but yeah, sometimes you can get caught up in the, you know, the numbers and what you do. I think, like I said, I want to play well week in, week out and consistently be involved with the team's good play and doing it sometimes without scoring a goal. Obviously, I want to score every game that we play, but you know, I think so many people can get, they just look at your stats and go, right, you've scored this. And as a forward player, you're kind of judged on stats, which is, I get it to one a certain extent, but then, you know, there's different times where, you know, you might beat a man or two, put a cross in, they head it out or something or get something and you score from it. So you don't get the assist, but you kind of...
You know yourself.
Yeah,
player,
you know yourself, you've done it. So,
well,
yeah, there's different ways I think you can affect a game. So I think for me, that's just trying to be how it is. But the target, I think it's always... Double figures in both, double figures. And then see where. And then if you hit that, then do it again.
Well, you've hit double figures in for goals and assists. Do you know who the last West Ham player to do that before you was?
Is it Payet?
Paolo Di Canio.
Mm. Ah, mad, isn't it? It?
Like, so, like,
I don't think Dimi got double figures. Yeah, he might have done
Well, my research.
Well, I mean, it's not bad to be up.
Oh, yeah, that name, like, yeah, I was going to say Payet and Di Canio is pretty special, good. Special players.
Mickey up front, Mo Kudus, Lucas Paquetá, yourself. It's like such a dangerous attacking threat we've got at the minute. Are you just loving playing with those guys at the minute?
Yeah,
Mickey's reinvented himself.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, like, no, he's been from since he's come back from injury. He's been brilliant, and I think you see especially the Freiburg game at home. You know, that was a European tie. You know, a lot on the line. We lost 1-0. Them games are really edgy. You know, there's only a couple of goals in you. You put five past them. You know, I think, you know, when we go and, you know, when we're all playing to a level that we know that we can play at, I think that's what we can do to teams. And yeah, I think there's a lot of fear from other teams when, you know, it's that front four playing against them. But then it's down to us to, I think consistency has probably been our biggest killer's heel this season, is being consistently like that to get to those levels that we want to get to. I feel like we've done it, but I feel like there's so much more that we could consistently get there as well. Mm. So I think that's down to, you know, us as players as well, to consistently churn out. Even if it's, you know, them games where you might not play well, but something comes up with a bit of magic, or, you know, you win the game and you say, right, that was an awful game, but we've put it to bed, we've got 3 points, got and then the we're win. On to the next one. So, but yeah, like you said,
that's not in football that as much anymore, though, Jay. Do you think, as in, I know I always say it like old school, as in, when you're not playing well and you get a 1-0 or one of the boys, Jared, does a bit of magic, they're massive results. Yeah. Do you know when you're winning and perform, not when you're not performing at your best and nicking them 1-0, it's not great on the eye, I get that, but you're still winning games, and that's what our boys can do up front, any of them at any
it's
minute point, can do something.
It's we're point, in an industry where it's results. Results matter so much, and there's been games where we've been awful this season and we've drew the games where, you know, we're looking at them and thinking we shouldn't have drew that. We should have won that game. We didn't play well, but we had enough to win that game. And I think that's probably been our biggest thing this season, is not those little games where it's you get a point, but those 3 points would have been
a bit disappointing.
You know what I mean? I think it's, but those, they can happen. There'll be games where we win and we don't deserve to win, or there'll be games where we lose and you're thinking, God, we've done all right. We've lost that game. So I guess it's football. Football's a cruel game. You know, 1 week you could be awful and pick up a point, or you could be unbelievable and lose the game.
Who's quicker, you or Kudus? Not that I'm sure you haven't had a flat out 100 metre race, but...
No, I don't know. I feel like Mo over like 5-10 yards is probably one of the best I've seen. Yeah, like the goal against Freiburg and all crazy. Of it is just...
Crazy says he's like ridiculously strong as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he is strong. Yeah, you can't get the ball.
Budge him off.
Can't get the ball. I haven't... usually we're usually on the same team in training, which is quite nice.
It's a touch.
Usually, sometimes it's me, Lucas and Mel on the same team in training. It's lovely.
Yeah, I bet. It's a day off.
It's lovely, yeah.
100% and then if I'm on the other team, that.
Sometimes it's like Mo's just like flicking the ball over someone's head, or... So it might be against Crezzy.
Angelo still gets the ump in training as well.
He gets the ump. He's the moaner. I've had many arguments with Angelo. We had one in training. When was it? Because I think he cleared the ball and kicked me. And I'm quite hot-headed. So Crezzy, I don't know if Crezzy said, but I always like speak to myself and I'm like swearing to myself or something. And Angelo kicked me once. It was a good tackle, to be fair. He won the ball. And then he was like, I'm going to smash you. I was thinking that.
Quite seriously as well.
Yeah. I think so. I said, no, I'll smash it. So then we would just get but the game was going on. Like I was passing the ball off and still talking to Angelo. Angelo was kicking the ball and still talking. And we were just going at each other. And then in the change room, we were just laughing at each other. But he's just on the, he's still a moaner.
Still
so
can
fun.
Have a moaner.
Yeah, he loves it. But he's top guy. He's legend. I love Angelo.
And you signed a contract to 2030. And I've been saying on this podcast, I think you're a future West Ham captain. Is that something you would want? Is that on the bucket list?
I would like to be captain one day, yeah. Maybe it comes in time. I've never really been... I've always been kind of... I don't know what the word is. I think it comes with you're either... You know, some people from young can lead a dressing room. And I think for me, I'm always quite a confidence person. So as time that I've been here, I feel like I'm more confident and I feel like I've got more of a... Not more of a say, but more of a influence on, you know, I can rev the players up because I know what it takes kind of thing. So maybe one day it could happen. I don't know. Maybe.
It's what you do on the pitch as well sometimes. Yeah. You know, manager, like, you know, we both played for managers, captains where some are quite vocal, some are not, some are quite quiet, but someone like you, what you do on the pitch.
Yeah. I think I'd probably do it in a different, if I was captain, I'd probably, obviously I speak to the lads and, you know, rev them up, but I'd probably try and do it in scoring a goal. Or,
yeah, follow me sort of thing. Yeah. Your performance.
I would take the leads kind of thing. I think that's, like I said, I think there's different ways that people can do it, as being really loud talkers and vocal, which, you know, I can be on a football pitch, but probably not really loud. I'd probably just focus on me and trying to score a goal or putting the ball in the box for someone or defending, or, you know what I mean? It's, I think there's different ways that you can do it, but maybe in the future, you never know. See what happens. Yeah. Might have the armband. I'd never know.
You have the armband, didn't you? Might have, like, but...
only by default. I was never someone to be injured. I was probably the last pick.
It was always
it come down to who had been at the club the longest or the oldest. So it was always, I have captained West Ham, but not being club captain by default.
Amazing. Well, Jared, thank you so much for joining
us.
Thank you for all the memories you created, and fingers crossed we're going to see plenty more, and hopefully in Germany as well this summer. We'll all be watching. And thank you for listening to Ironcast. We'll see you next week. Until then, come on, you Irons.
Podcast Network.